Try 4 weeks of The Spectator absolutely free. And, for this month only, you'll receive a Spectator wireless phone charger. Go to www.spectator.co.uk/charger.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Katie Balls and I'm joined by James Forsyth. So today we've had the news that the coronavirus death toll is now over 32,000, which on the surface of it means that we have the highest death toll in Europe. James, the government was already under pressure when it comes to comparisons with certain countries. The two that usually come up first in conversation are South Korea and Germany. Is this going to now intensify in the sense that people will say we have fared worse than, say, Italy and Spain?
So I think the first thing to say is comparing a lot of these statistics is comparing like with not quite like, if you follow. And I think in a way, it is fair to say that you won't know until you've got the excess mortality figures at the end of this pandemic to know where really has, to use that crude phrase, had the highest death toll in Europe. The Economist have done some interesting work on why the Italian and Spanish counts, for example, might be underestimates. There is obviously significance here in terms of the number of people who've died, which is deeply tragic. I mean, there are also two things going forward. One is that the number of deaths in the UK makes it quite clear that the government's initial strategy was at the least suboptimal. And I think you actually see that in the shift in the government's approach. You know, the government did not go for test, track and trace originally. Instead, it went for a different approach. And I think that reflects flaws in the pandemic planning. As I think, as we said in the magazine last week, you know, this was a failure of imagination. I think the second thing is it is going to influence the speed with which the UK comes out of lockdown. I think with the death toll already this high, I think it will make the government err on the side of caution as it decides what measures to take out. I think there is a view in Downing Street that the public might be sympathetic to the fact that the UK had prepared for flu rather than a SARS-style virus, you know, especially because most European countries have made the same mistake. Or nearly all European countries have made the same mistake. But they will be less sympathetic if they think that the UK is mismanaging its exit from the lockdown. So I think these figures will reinforce the desire to go quite slowly out of a lockdown, to watch and see what happens in other European countries as they ease their lockdowns.
And we've heard today from the Deputy Medical Officer, Jenny Harris, as well as the Chief Scientific Officer, Patrick Vallance, when they appeared before the Health Select Committee. And in this, Jenny Harris was questioned on some of her previous comments. James, you mentioned testing, but there's a particular quote that she gave which keeps coming up, which is when she said that testing had stopped being the right way to respond to coronavirus after a certain point. So when the government had moved from its contain stage, do you think that when it comes to the eventual blame game, which at times seems as though it's already underway, but also we are expecting probably some form of public inquiry in the future, that this is going to be as much on figures such as Jenny Harris, the medical officers involved in this, or do you think that ultimately this is still a political decision?
So the government's defence is clearly going to be that it followed the scientific advice. I think equally, as Patrick Vallance made clear this morning, you know, these recommendations from the scientists don't come down in kind of holy writ. But I think it is quite clear that number 10 will say we followed the scientific advice. And I think the kind of story hiding in plain sight is that all the quotes on the record from various people involved in presenting the scientific advice to the government suggests that that was the case. And I think it will lead to lots of calls for kind of changes in the way that the scientific advice is done, the ways in which they are presented to government. I think Jenny Harris today was slightly clarifying her remarks by saying that the reason that testing was no longer an appropriate strategy was because the UK didn't have the capacity to carry out a sufficient number of tests for that point in the epidemic, which is a slightly different point from the one that I think most people thought she was making at the time.
And looking ahead, we've also heard from Nicola Sturgeon today. As ever, the devolved governments seem to be one step ahead in terms of what they are willing to talk about to the public. And Nicola Sturgeon has been talking about an eventual exit strategy. Now, one of the things we've been hearing about in terms of what the UK government and the government in Westminster wants to do is look at potentially reopening of, or partial reopening of, primary schools in June. However, the Nicola Sturgeon seemed to suggest that that was something the Scottish government would be quite reluctant to do. She said she could not see schools opening properly for the foreseeable. James, this hits on a problem that you've written about previously, which is the sense that Boris Johnson and his ministers are very keen that the UK as a whole moves in lockstep when it comes to easing lockdown. Now, as you detailed in your cover piece last week, you have a situation where after conditions are eased, as they flared up in a specific area, perhaps at that point, that specific area has lockdown measures put back in. But ultimately, the first easing is all as one. We've also seen a piece today by Alistair Jack, the Scottish Secretary, in which he's been talking of the need that decisions are made as one united kingdom. But I think you can tell partly by the furious retweeting of that piece by cabinet ministers and MPs, there's this continuing worrying that seems to be growing that this is just going to not be possible in terms of what Nicola Sturgeon wants to do.
You've written about this, Katie. One of the big worries in government is that you ease the restrictions up. You say people can send their children to school and they choose not to do so. We already have a kind of controlled experiment on this point, which is about 20% of children could currently be in school, and the number is about 2%, or slightly less than that. I think the last time I looked, but it might have risen. And that is because people are still, you know, we know from the polls that 70% of people are going to be worried about going outside even once lockdown has been lifted. And yes, for Scottish, term times are different. But when Nicola Sturgeon says today, oh, she couldn't say hand on heart, but it's safe to reopen schools, lots of parents hearing that in England would then be more cautious about sending their children back to school, even if the government was saying, yes, no, it is now safe. Now, I think it is worth noting that the Scottish government chart on why it's not safe to send children back to school is talking about sending kind of every child in every year group back to school straight away tomorrow, which is not the plan anywhere in the UK. But I think this is going to be an issue, which is if public health advice is different in different parts of the UK, and not in a kind of highly localised way, but, you know, in Scotland is doing one thing, Wales is doing another thing, Northern Ireland is doing another thing, England is doing another thing, it will make it harder, I think, to get the public to follow the advice. And I think especially if you have Nicola Sturgeon saying it's not safe to do this or that, that will reinforce public worries in the rest of the UK about doing those things. And that, I think, is one of the reasons why the government is so keen to get kind of all bits of the UK moving at the same pace.
Now, on the subject of public reluctance or concerns over any easing of lockdown, we know that at Cabinet last week, Isaac Levido, who led the Tories' election campaign, gave a presentation on polling, and several ministers were slightly taken aback by the reluctance in some areas, such as specifically, which ties onto what we were just talking about, the fact that lots of parents would really consider not sending their child back to school, schools opened anytime soon. James, key to trying to change public opinion, or at least prepare people for the next stage, is going to be government messaging. Now, if anything, the stay home, save lives has been more successful than people thought. And we are expecting a new slogan at some point. Do we have any sense of when that might be and what could be incorporated into that? I mean, we expect it will have only a small number of words given the general track record with this government and Vote Leave.
Yeah, I would expect that Boris Johnson will not end his address to the nation on Sunday by saying, stay at home, protect the NHS, save lives. I think the message will have evolved by that point. And I think there is a realisation that it needs to evolve, because you can't be saying, stay at home, protect the NHS, save lives, and then as soon as you decide that you want people to go back to doing something, change the message the next day. That you're going to have a kind of period where you warm people up to the idea of going back. So I think that is the challenge. I think, you know, the cabinet minister was saying to me last night, you know, the issue is it is simply been, the message has got, is so lodged in the public consciousness now that you will now need something equally memorable to dislodge it from the public consciousness, if you wish to kind of go back to kind of trying to persuade people in, you know, manufacturing, construction and the like, to go back to work.
And finally, looking ahead to Sunday, we heard from Nicola Sturgeon today that one of the things that she is looking at is whether or not one can meet with a family member outdoors, where all the scientific evidence suggests the virus is harder to be spread going forward. We've talked before in this podcast about how there's a certain level of flex already in the guidelines. And actually, when it comes to what we are going to be allowed to do immediately, it could just be trying to get people to take up this space already in the guidelines that for various reasons businesses decided not to, and to be very cautious. But James, do you think we're going to get anything that's new in terms of relaxing of social distancing, which will have immediate effect come Sunday?
I think you'll be able to do more stuff outside on Monday morning than you will be on Sunday morning, if you see what I mean.
Well, there's a thought to leave with everyone as we end the podcast. Thank you, James, and do join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Coffee House Shots. I'm Kate Andrews, and I curate The Spectator's daily lunchtime coronavirus update. For the latest research, world news, and lockdown updates related to COVID-19, sign up for free at spectator.co.uk/COVID email.